ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Gelesen aus dem dritten, wir reden from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 17. Oh, thank you, Boo. Okay, we'll chant together. Yes, Tvatma Radyevasya. Yes, Tvatma Radyevasya. Atma Tripta Shamanavaha. Atma Tripta Shamanavaha. Atmanyevacha Santushtas. Atmani vacha santushtas Tasya kayang navidyate Tasya kayang navidyate Yes tvatmarati evasyat Atma triptas jamanavaha Atmani vacha santushtas Tasya kayang na vidyate. Please chant. Yes, tvatmarati evasyad. Atma tripta shamanavaha. Atmani vacha santushtas. Tasya kayam navidyate. Yes, tvatmarati evasyad. Atma tripta shamanava. Atmani vacha santushtas. Tasya kayam navidyate. Yes, tvatmarati evasyat. Atma tripta shamanavaha. Atmani vacha santushtas. Tasya kayam navidyate. Mataji's? Somebody likes a chant? Yes, tvatmarati evasya. Atma triptas shamanavaha. Atmani vacha santushtas. Tasya kayam navidyate. Yaha. One, who? Two. But. Atmaratihi, taking pleasure in the self. Eva, certainly. Syad, remains. Atmatripta, self-illuminated. Cha, and. Manavaha, a man. Atmani, in himself. Eva, only, cha, and, santushtaha, perfectly satiated, tasya, his, kayam, duty, na, does not, vidyate, exist, Translation in purple by his Vengris, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Shri Prabhupada Ki. But for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. Purport. A person who is fully Krishna conscious and is fully satisfied by his acts in Krishna consciousness no longer has any duty to perform. Due to his being Krishna conscious, all impiety within is instantly cleansed, and an effect of many, many thousands of yajna performances. By such clearing of consciousness, one becomes fully confident of his eternal position in relationship with the Supreme. His duty thus becomes self-illuminated by the grace of the Lord, and therefore he no longer has any obligations to the Vedic injunctions. Such a Krishna conscious person is no longer interested in material activities and no longer takes pleasure in material arrangements like wine, women and similar infatuations. Tasma Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandiyam Shri Gurun Shri Yatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Shakhanditam Sya Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostuti Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarupyascha Kripa Sinubhiyaivacha Patitanam Pavanipyu Vaishnavibhyo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gauravaktavanda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is actually a very interesting verse. It's one of my favorite verses from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And to point out again the place where this verse now is, in the third chapter, basically, Krishna speaks about karma yoga, that means how one can elevate himself by actions of sacrifice. You know that actually, we heard the few days before how this life is actually meant for sacrifice. You know, the whole world is set up in a way that you know, somehow or other we cannot come around to sacrifice. Even if we want to have a nice family life, then still one needs to sacrifice, you know, and mitigate between his own desires and the desires of the wife, the children, the husband. You know, one cannot just go his way. It's not possible, or her way, right? So one always has to find somehow a balanced way of dealing with things. And also in the work, usually we are not the big boss, you know, and then we also, you know, have to work subordinate, or, you know, even on Sankirtan when one goes out, you know. Still, we have to learn that, you know, it's not us ruling and enjoying the world, is it? Even though we would like it to be like that. And this is natural to some degree, because just as the ocean, one drop of the sea water has the same qualities like the sea, the whole ocean, so the soul has the same qualities that Krishna also has. And Krishna is the supreme controller, supreme lord. So also we have this tendency, naturally. But we make a mistake. We forget, because we are so tiny, that actually it's not our real nature to enjoy independently of Krishna. We can only enjoy and become happy, as this verse is saying, fully happy within, when we agree to be the secondary enjoyers. And first of all, we offer the things to God, and then we enjoy it. And this procedure has been mentioned before, a few verses before, in the 13th verse of this chapter, where Krishna is explaining that the devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. And this aspect is again stated by the Lord in the previous verse, in verse 16, the verse from yesterday. Krishna is telling, my dear Arjun, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice, thus established by the Vedas, certainly leads a life full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. So this point Krishna is clearly pointing out, especially in today's verse, and suddenly there's such a big contrast, isn't it? Yesterday we hear, oh, you know, one who's not following the process of yakyas, he has to suffer and he cannot be happy in this life and also not in the next, although this is our natural inclination, we want to be happy. And then Krishna now here in this verse is explaining the opposite, you know, how one can be completely happy and can be completely peaceful. And a little bit later, in this chapter, he is also again pointing out this same thing. So therefore, I would like today, in today's class, to speak a little bit about happiness. Happiness in Krishna consciousness. Do you like this theme? do we like to become happy in Krishna consciousness? Yeah, Jai! So we just need to know how to do it. So therefore, this is a little bit interactive class. Now I would like to hear from you some ideas how one can find actually pleasure in life and also in devotional service. Please make suggestions. Anybody has an idea? Just serving? Yeah, serving is a good thing. Okay, whom to serve and how? The devotees? With the heart, yeah. But it should not be sentimental. But it's true, we should serve the devotees wholeheartedly, with our full heart, and in a humble way. No? It's not that we can demand, okay, you serve me in that capacity. No? But actually, this is one thing which I learned also when I lived in Munich in the last years, in the temple, that if you're actually fully dependent upon the mercy of the devotees. You know, there was one point when I was so much fed up, you know, with the devotees, because they didn't treat me nice, you know. There were not so many persons in the temple, and then, you know, you get all the service dumped on your head, but I was saying, no, sorry, I don't have the capacity. And, you know, in this way, you know, created some disturbance. And then the temple president, you know, she said that is, you know, then I cannot stay in the temple practically, you know. Okay, then I decided, okay, happily, I will move out of the temple again, you know, and because actually it's our responsibility to be happy in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? And that's long term. It's not just a short-sighted view, okay, now we try to serve, and in all circumstances, in all ways, you know, because so many... when it's not our natural capacity, like say we have only 10% capacity to serve or 30% or something like that, and then suddenly we want to jump, you know, and we want to surrender 70% or 80%. It might be possible if this is just like incidentally, say for some festival or something, you know, you just work through the whole night and then it's ecstatic the next day, but then of course, you know, the body grows older and older and then again needs to catch up with the sleep and everything. everybody maybe knows that kind of thing. And then at one point I got so much fed up and I just decided, okay, I don't go to the temple anymore. You know, anyway, they don't value my contributions, just demanding this and that, you know. And but then it was like almost like committing suicide. Although I was at home, I had my flat and everything, my small altar and my work. I need to work also to maintain the flat and everything. So then and then I, you know, somehow or other, I was so depressed. I was even thinking of committing suicide again, because really to be without the devotees is, I don't know, some really intense pain, you know. And then at one point, suddenly my Guru Maharaj, he wrote me, "How are you?" And I was like completely like, not so good, you know. And then I wrote him back, okay, this and that happens. And then he said, yeah, you know, I'm coming to Munich soon, because he need to go to the doctor, you know, some Ayurvedic doctor was there. And if I would kindly accept, you know, to have his darshan and we could speak about it, you know, very humble. And then in this way he helped me to, you know, get a different view, and he gave me his mercy so that anyway I could tolerate it, you know, because, you know, he was at one point, he was just laughing, you know, and saying, in your case, I wouldn't take it serious, you know. Devotional service is much more important than any person, you know. So in this way he helped me to somehow overcome my false ego. And then I started to go again to the temple, serve the same temple president, which had still the same conceptions and everything, but anyway, my attitude had changed. So this was actually a very valuable experience in regarding to serving the devotees. Okay, some other ideas? How to get taste for devotional service? Chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's true. And why does it make us happy? Does somebody know? Why does chanting the Maha Mantra make us happy? Because so often we chant and then we cannot taste it, right? It's like dry and it's like mechanically maybe, or it's even a burden, you know, we would rather sleep or do something else, you know. So why chanting Hare Krishna is something tasty, something wonderful and very peaceful. Don't be shy. I don't bite. Don't shoot anybody. Yeah. Actually, that's a very important point. We have to look at it. Welcome, Guy. We have to look at it a little bit closer. Because what you are saying here is that the Maha Mantra is actually of the same quality that the soul is. And this is certainly not material. So we're speaking from a completely different nature. And by connecting with Krishna, with the Absolute, by chanting and glorifying His holy names, we can experience that happiness inside. But of course, there's also certain things to avoid. No? There is so many offenses which one can do. No? Not only offense to the Vaishnavas, also offenses to the Jivas, in the service or to the Holy Dham. There's so many mistakes one can do. So this is when we chant to get pleasure and you know, associate with Krishna and with devotees, which is a wonderful means, then we still need to protect ourselves not to commit offenses. And one of the main offenses, actually said is the root cause of all offenses. Somebody knows what that is? This is also a severe offense, but it's not exactly the root cause. He said offending the Vaishnavas. Yeah, exactly. This is the root cause of all other offenses. When we chant and we drive the car, you know, sometimes I'm really, you know, anxious to see the devotees with the japa. You know, if they have the clicker, still it's bad enough. But the japa, you know, somehow can get entangled with this gear and everything, you know. And it causes accidents. And in the past, so many accidents happened, actually. Sometimes the devotees, they're driving, you know, Hare Krishna, or watching a movie, or doing something, you know, like cleaning up the place, and so many things. So, you know, how we are attentive to Krishna. You know, we're also not attentive to driving. It's very difficult in this way to chant. And then we should not wonder when we don't get the taste, right? Okay, now we have two powerful things. Do you want to hear some of my things, which I noted down? Some thoughts, how to get the taste? First of all, avoid negative input. Ne? That includes also the offenses of the Holy Name, but also not following the four regulative principles, for example. Because my experience also, I was not always following the regulative principles, but whenever I somehow fell down again, you know, because it said that devotional service is just like a razor's edge, you know, you can shave very clean or you can cut yourself very badly, right? So in that way, also I have some experience. And so my experience is that whenever we lose the taste, it can also be when we become neglectful, you know, in regard of following these rules and regulations, you know, the four regulations, which protect us from sinful actions. Also, when one is lenient in following the orders of the spiritual master, or one is not at all following, this is actually the third offense against the Holy Name. It's also a big obstacle. Now, how one can develop the taste? Okay, and then doing something positive about it, the second thing. Well, one can pray for mercy, for sure. Now, even when it's so fallen, and Krishna, a few verses after that, he even says that, you know, even you are the biggest sinner of every, you know, sin which can be, you know, committed, still if you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you are protected. You know, this is actually very nice. So this brings us to another means, how to become happy, by developing transcendental knowledge. First of all, we need to study the books to know actually what is spiritual life all about, right? And then we need to apply it in our lives. And by applying it, we become more and more really free from the modes of material natures. And you know, increasingly we can absorb our minds in Krishna and there find happiness. Also, what we can do, we can ask others for help. There are so many devotees around, you know, and ultimately this institution, one of the purports this institution of ISKCON to be founded, Srila Prabhupada said it's meant to be a place for the devotees to associate with each other and to uplift each other. So it's very good, actually. And also during the studies we are learning that actually the biggest resource are the other people. The teacher, the students, you know, so many other. And it's true, you know, I don't have any idea, not so many ideas about how to work with a computer. And so many expert devotees are here, how to make nice PowerPoint presentations, you know, how to get a nice pictures and even some quotations from the internet and everything, you know. I'd be lost, you know, especially internet is like a vast ocean, isn't it? You can really get lost in it for hours. So in this way, the devotees can practically help us, but also not only in material life, but also in spiritual life. Then it's also very helpful to do some activity, some devotional service, which we like to do. Not that we always need to force ourselves, you know, even we don't like it. Of course, to some extent, we also need to do the necessary things. But when we have some free time, you know, we can do something which we like. We can sing bhajans or, you know, sit down and read a little bit more the books from Srila Prabhupada or chant some extra rounds, you know. Or if we like eating, we can cook something nice, you know. We can look very nice recipe for Krishna and then we can buy the ingredients and very meditatively cook for him and offer it and then eat lemons. You know, it's just so nice, isn't it? Krishna consciousness is so practical. And actually, I find this is one of the major points. How do you think about it? To really engage yourself in something that you like. Somebody has an experience with that? How it is like contributive to devotional service, to getting the taste? And actually, this is completely natural too, because actually, we should come to the platform where we are completely absorbed in Krishna, isn't it? Krishna again and again in Bhagavad Gita says, okay, man mana bhava mat bhakto, you know, even two times, almost the same verse he's saying, you know. Continuously, again and again, Krishna points out how important it is to fix the mind on Krishna's lotus feet. So, and how should we like to become absorbed if we don't like the activity? Therefore, I think it's completely, you know, natural that one finds the activity which one likes to do, for example, deity worship or kirtan or even studying the books or just going out, you know, all day long, distributing books and meeting the people, you know, giving his good association to others. So there's a whole variety of different activities in Krishna consciousness which, you know, we have that have that potential in it. You know, it's just our grabbing it and embracing it and diving into it that will help us. Okay, since the time is going forward. One thing which I also noted down is what is very helpful is to practice sadhana bhakti sincerely to attract Krishna's mercy. And because in this way we are showing Krishna actually, yes, we want him. No? It's not by whimsically accepting something and rejecting another thing, because this is the mental platform, it's the platform of the mind and the senses. No? The mind, he likes certain things, and for example, taking a warm bath, my mind is very attached to that. And he doesn't like the cold showers so much, you know, so, you know, especially in the winter when the water is really cold, you know. Yeah, so in this way, but anyway, you know, sometimes the water is not warm, it's not cold too, and then it's okay to take a shower even with the medium water. So in this way, we actually need to become indifferent to these dualities too. And this we can only do by practicing some type of sacrifice, no? And the sacrifice, Maiko Maharshi told me that actually without coming for Mangalarati, there's actually no meaning of spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada had said that. And actually, how much austerities are we performing? We're accepting the most relishable dishes in the form of prasadam and mahaprasadam. It's much more tasty than anything material, isn't it? Even the best kind of chocolate, you know, this Belgic kind of chocolate, which I was pretty addicted to, is not as tasty as having some nice, you know, rasa malai or sweet rice or something. You know, just so tasty, isn't it? Yeah. So in this way, we actually don't meet many austerities, but we can show Krishna by getting up every morning to Mangalarati, you know, and showing him that actually, yes, Krishna, this day is meant for you. And it's so beneficial, isn't it? When you get up early, then you can chant your rounds, focused, and you can associate with the Bhagavatam, with the other devotees in the morning. Whereas when you get up late, sometimes also happened to me also, then, you know, all day is already kind of lost, you know, you don't have the morning program so much, and then you chant your rounds, you know. Maybe if you're good, you're finished by noon, otherwise maybe late in the evening. Do you have that experience? Yeah? So, and then you're struggling so hard to get into the sadhana again. Actually, it's so easy. Just once you get started, you just, you know, keep it going. Or chanting, you know. It's not necessary that you immediately start with 16 rounds, you know. You can chant with one round, two round, you know. But one should commit to some fixed number in order to help, to regulate the mind. And for this age, actually, this is the sacrifice which is recommended, is Sankirtan Yajna, to chant the holy names of the Lord, especially together with other devotees, which we can do in the japa time. Okay, so that is what I wanted to contribute. Are there questions or comments, critics? Mm-hmm. Which one? Yeah, thank you. It's a very nice, very important point, actually, because this point, one could also misuse it. One could say, oh, you know, I'm moving in the temple, you know, I become lazy, I don't have any responsibility anymore, you know, my wife with her child, she can be, you know, stay where she is, and I'm here, I'm saved, you know, protected. But actually, no. Because before, when one reads the verses, that were prior to this verse, Krishna makes it very clear, and even after, when one just continues to read that, Krishna again and again points out that it's not just a matter of running away from the duties. It's transforming actually the duties. This is meant by the path becomes self-illumined. Even in sadhana bhakti, what we are doing, we are continuing to serve and serve and serve and follow the rules and regulations until we come to Raganuga Bhakti. But still, even on the platform of Raganuga Bhakti, when one's meditation becomes more intense, you know, one has more taste and so many things, still the sadhaka on that platform, he also, as far as possible, he sticks to these rules and regulations of the lower level, even though he is not forced to do. So this is, Krishna also from within, he is revealing. And then the spiritual master and the devotees, the books, you know, should always be in line. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So in this way, the Paramatma, he also gives the sincere devotee the directions how to make further advancement. But one important aspect to that is found in the very beginning, in the first sentence of that purport. Srila Prabhupada says a person who is fully Krishna conscious. So as long as we are not fully Krishna conscious, means 100%, then we just cannot rely, you know, on just neglecting our duty. It means we still have our worldly duties, right? If we want to live outside, you know, maintain a family, then we have to work. You know, we have to be nice to our boss, to our family, to our friends, and somehow maintain that. In this way, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga are only preliminary requisites, so to say. They are preparing the path. Like we have also this picture of the yoga ladder. You know that? So in this way, Bhakti Yoga is on top of it. It's not that one can just jump, you know, from the animal platform of life to, you know, complete liberation, you know. So, is it clear? Wonderful. You got the essence. Thank you very much. You're happy with that? It is like satisfying for you, the answer? You have a question? No? So what do you suggest? Yeah. It's a good point to start, isn't it? And the Acharyas actually all say the only way to increase the attachment for the holy name, even though one does not have so much taste, is to just increase the quantity. You know? Because, just chant more. Because some people, they think, okay, you know, rather than chanting 16 rounds, not so good, I rather chant 1 or 2 rounds really focused. You know, but, you know, why not chant 1 or 2 rounds really focused, then automatically you want to continue, you know, to chant more. Because then it's so tasty. So, actually, it's very practical, you know. It's just by improving the japa. During Kartik, I had some small vrata, you know, and I decided, okay, I will get up a little bit earlier than usual, and then this way I can chant 4 extra rounds each day, you know, for the whole month. And it just became nectar, you know. And during japa, and I was, you know, even I wanted to chant more during the day. It's so nice just to do it, just to follow the path of the authorities. Mahajanu yena gatasa pantaha. It means we should actually follow Mahajans. And they are setting an example. Okay, are you happy with that answer? Thank you very much. Okay, then I will end here because now soon the Ketaneros will come. And you know, then you can absorb yourself in Sankirtan if you like to do so. Thank you very much. All those to Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go back to Vrindavan Ki Jai.
Stimmt.